good morning. Our voices changed the layout of the bulletin this morning, and we might give it a shot for a couple weeks, see how we like it, and if there's good responses, we'll keep it going, or otherwise we can always tweak it as we go along. But and as you look through, we actually have the whole worship service between the bulletin and the hymnal. But as you'll see, we'll be following along the same order of service that we did last week, and I'll be helping with the opening hymn, which is B. Congregation, please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess we have by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as an eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Dear friends, I have great news for you this morning. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our psalm for this morning comes from Psalm 1, and we read responsively. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season.
Its leaf does not righteous. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Saul, grant us courage and strength to take up the cross and follow him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be like if you obey loving the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments, and but are drawn away to against you today, that I have set before you life and death. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the to the world. The epistle reading comes from the book of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our brother, beloved fellow worker, and Alphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you, I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my child imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of you owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we go? You have the word.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first hate it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able to, with 10,000, to meet him who comes against him with 20,000 great way off? He sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated, and I invite all the children to come forward for a children's message. Much for coming up here today. As you see, today I have two baskets, right? One is still the candy basket, and the other basket, it's the peanut butter and pickle sandwich. You know? You thought you got rid of it, but it is back again. And so I would want you to choose which one you would like me to share with you today. But before we get there, before I ask you to choose, I want to ask you, do you think you can trust me to point you in the right direction? No. Do you think I want to share with you my peanut butter and pickle sandwich? No, I don't. No, I don't. I want to share with you my blessings. I want to share with you just all the good gifts that I have. And that actually reminds me of our Old Testament reading for this morning, where God says, I want you to make a choice. There's two choices before you. There's the good choice of life, and there's the bad choice, the dark choice of death and disobeying my word. And God asks us to choose which one he wants us to go. And yet God gives us very specifically a reason, and he encourages us to go to pick the choice of life. He says to choose the way of life, you should just... to choose the way of life, you can just go about and follow me, follow my example, obey my commandments, and you will live. These are the blessings God tries so desperately that his children would make good choices, pick the way of blessing. And so I want to, again, just show you, which one would you choose? And I can promise you, I want to give you this blessing. Will you choose? Would you choose the good that I have for you? Anyone? They think it's the peanut butter pickle sandwich. Well, anyone want to choose? Please choose. Well, I am going to choose for you because I love you so much, and I want to share my blessings with you. As you can see, underneath, this is the candy. And we are going to say a quick word of prayer, and then I'll let you pick and go back to your seats. If you would please pray with me. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for the life you have given us. And we pray that you continue to pour out your blessings upon us and that we can choose to follow you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, thank you so much for coming up, everybody. You can take a piece of candy and go back to your seats. And the congregation, we will be joining and singing our next hymn, number 685. through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, back in high school, I had this close friend, and he was an atheist. This verse, it's the passage that we see in 14. His line of questioning, dead guy, who lived 2,000 years ago, demand that I hate my father and mother. How can he demand that I follow him or else otherwise many years ago, but I still remember that question? How can some dead guy 2,000 years ago demand that I hate my father and mother and follow after him? And that is a serious question, and it flows directly out of our gospel reading. Lord, if you do not hate that guy, he's God and Lord in the flesh, he's perfectly alive, he's risen from the dead, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. But all of that's beyond the point, because I understand the question. I understand the point you're trying to get to. Because I understand that Jesus telling you to hate your father and mother is offensive. In fact, it's radical and it's extreme. Yet obviously Jesus isn't telling us to literally hate our father and mother. Because certainly this is the same God who gave us the fourth commandment saying, honor your father and mother. This is the same God who tells us to love our neighbors and to love our enemies. And this is the same God who John says God is love. But what Jesus is saying here is that you need to so value him, love him to a much higher degree than you would love anybody else. Love him and be so devoted to him that your love for others, by comparison, would look like hate. And Jesus' teaching in Matthew, I think, captures this perfectly well. In Matthew, he teaches something very similar, saying, anyone who loves their father and mother, their son or daughter more than me, is not worthy of me. Still offensive. And what's crazy is that Jesus doesn't just stop there either. He's saying, hating your own parents isn't enough. You must even hate your own life. And if you don't pick up that cross and follow me, if you're not willing to die for me, then Jesus said, follow after me. And the cross here, it's not just some metaphorical cross. It's not just something symbolic for some trivial struggle that you might face because they had seen picking up the cross meant dying. Extreme use of language saying, how can he demand that from me? Why is he being so intense? That's not right. And for us, we might think very similarly, right? I mean, after all, salvation is free. Salvation is a free gift. You can't somehow earn it. You can't get more eternal life by anything you do. Jesus grants the forgiveness of sins through his death on the cross. There's nothing that I could possibly add to this work. He has accomplished everything for me on my behalf. So why does Jesus have to be so extreme? Why does he have to say that I have to hate my parents and my own life? Well, it is true, salvation is free, but discipleship is costly. Jesus gives you eternal life freely, but following him and being his disciple can cost you. And he simply says, know those costs. Because to be baptized into Jesus Christ and to become his follower is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. Because there is a cost to following Jesus. Because to become a Christian puts a giant target on your back. It opens you up to all going to Christ without a fight. Satan, he will do anything to make you. And so entering God's kingdom is the start of this endless battle. To be a Christian in this world can cost you your relationships. It can cost you jobs and an ease of life. And it can even cost you your life itself. And that is why Jesus is being as radical as he is. If you do not hate your father and mother, or if you do not love your son or daughter more than me, then you are not worthy of me. You cannot be my disciple. atheist friend that I mentioned earlier, he had a Catholic mother, and the division that his mother's faith caused in her family was absolutely tremendous. Her husband wasn't a churchgoer either, and in fact, he couldn't even stand the thought of it. Her faith caused countless fights and disagreements. It caused conflict and tension in every area of their marriage. And while their three kids were still all in middle school to high school age, they ended up having to file for a divorce. And along with their father, this woman's children likewise wanted nothing to do with the church. They sided on the side of the father, and they also wanted nothing to do with the mother. They just wanted to move in with their dad. Here she was, this woman, just wanting to follow Christ. And only imagine the temptations of Satan through all of this. Is this really what you wanted? Are you really going to give up your family to follow Jesus? You know, just forsake him. Stop sharing your faith with your husband and with your kids. Just go back to your old ways, enjoy life again, and stop insisting that your 13-year-old boy go to church with you. It'd be much easier to just go back to your family back. You can have your husband and you can have your kids back if you just stop following Christ. Salvation may be free, and in fact it is free, but discipleship can cost you dearly. Because salvation came to this woman freely through her baptism. Through the death of Jesus on the cross, she was given eternal life. But to follow in that truth, and to believe it, and to live in it was super costly. And so Jesus says in our text, know the costs. Know that you must hate your father and mother because that's what it can take. You must love me more than you love your sons or daughters because that is what it can cost you. And if you're going to make the follow Jesus, then prepare to go all in. Know those costs. Know that Satan will do all that is in his power to attack you. Once you're a Christian, your life is now free game. Your job is free game. When you wonder if you're ever going to be able to retire, Satan wants you to doubt that God is in control. He wants you to doubt that he isn't even there. Satan wants to make your life spiral into chaos as your doubts and your worries all continue to grow. This is the battle that you have entered into. And so know the costs. But more importantly, in all of this, know what's to gain. And know that it's worth it. Apostle Paul says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them all as rubbish. I forsake all things in order that I may be found in Christ. Knowing Jesus and following him as Lord is the most valuable and precious decision one can make. And when you can see Christ in all of his blessings, when you can look at the waters of baptism and see his grace, when you can look at the cross and remember that he has died for the forgiveness of your sins, everything else in this life will fail in comparison. It may cost me my prestige and my resources. It may even cost me my tithe and my preferred way of life. I might not otherwise be able to go out to eat every day. I might not be able to afford the truck that I always wanted. But none of that matters in comparison. None of that matters when I compare it to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because his free gift on the cross has given me eternal life. And nothing can harm me. Nothing eternally. and nothing else matters in this world, because this world is passing away. This world is going to be judged with fire, and all that matters is that I know Jesus Christ. As long as I trust that in Jesus, I have eternal life and I have the forgiveness of sins. Everything else that I have in this life is just an added blessing on top of that. Because all that matters is that Jesus has won salvation for me. Salvation is free, and discipleship's, but more importantly, know that it's worth it in Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds. At this time, we now worship God with our offering. And I also want to make a plug to sign the book, the friendship book, in the end of the pew. If you can pass those down, thank you. Would you please stand for prayer? Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for the boundless gifts you grant us every day. We thank you for our lives and breath. We thank you for our house and home, our clothes, our food and drink, and our family and friends. Loving Father, every good and perfect gift comes from you. Help us to see and understand that it's from your hand that we receive all good things. Lord, in your mercy. God of life, we rejoice this morning with Chad and Kayla Owenberg, and also with Pastor Jacob and his wife Julia. Gracious Father, as you bring new life into these two families, we pray that you continue to fill them with joy. As they celebrate with the life you formed through them, we ask that you would keep the babies healthy and the parents looking to you for strength, comfort, and happiness. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, we thank you for Kevin and Brenda Wolf as they celebrate their 40th wedding anniversary. We thank you for this great milestone and for the incredible blessing that they have been to this congregation. We ask that you would continue to bless their marriage as they seek to love and encourage one another in true faith. Lord, in your mercy. Creation. We come before you again, lifting up those who have been affected by Hurricane Dorian. For those living in the Bahamas, parts of Florida, and the Carolinas, who have lost property and loved ones, we ask that you would come upon your children and give them the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. Give them the peace of God that comes only from you and assures them that you never forsake your own. Lord, in your mercy. Great physician, we pray for all our members, families, and friends who are struggling in this life. Including in this list, we pray for Betty, Pat, Norma, Mary, Charles, Carol, Melissa, Nancy, David, Mark, Amy, Phoebe, Terry, Erica, Judy, Bill, Kathy, Debbie, and Lisa. Lord, you know all the needs of your children. Whether they struggle, grant them relief. Remind them that the day you... Amen. Blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated as we conclude with our closing hymn number 425.